we're gonna do my favorite thing. Oh, how I love to go camping.
Memorial Day, it's set aside to commemorate our armed forces, but it's also the unofficial start to summer. And this weekend, millions of Americans dusted off their camp chairs, stuffed coolers with lots of good beverages, and joined family and friends on a date with Mother Nature. We're talking all things camping on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Kevin Revolinsky is a travel expert and writer. He's author of 16 books, including the newly released fourth edition of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. His website is themadtraveler.com. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So you've written lots of books. You know the ins and outs of camping. But do you recall your first camping experience?
You know, it's funny you should ask that because I kind of don't have a very clear memory of when it started. But when I was a kid, we used to camp in the backyard, and we had this old, smelly canvas. It was more of a tarp than a tent. It didn't even have anything on the ground that we'd camp in the backyard. And then it, you know, evolved over the years into, you know, full-on tent camping at parks and going into the woods and such. But it was always kind of part of our life, you know, playing in the woods near, you know, home, and you know, evolving into something more sophisticated and remote, let's say. But it's a Wisconsin life thing, I think. People will disagree, but I think it's just part of living here.
Are you more prone for rustic campsites, or do you like your electricity?
I guess I'm prone for the rustic, but I don't mind having electricity, but sometimes I just don't think it's worth the extra whatever, $15 a night or something. But I like to be away from crowds, so I won't go to the campgrounds that are, you know, overflowing with people. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just not my thing. I like to be out there alone, or, you know, with friends, but, you know, separated from society, if you will. You know, having that moment to do, you know, hiking and things where you're really away from, getting away from it all, as they call it. So
you like your dark sky, too.
Yes. Yes. Being able to see the stars, which we can do that anywhere in Wisconsin. Fortunately, we don't live in something like New York where you look up and you don't see it.
No light pollution,
pollution. And and there are some parks that are better for that than others, but for sure there are several that you can get out there and you can see the Milky Way, and you can see the space station go across if you've, you know, looked it up online to see when it's going. It's quite awesome to have that.
We're going to get into the specifics of what some of those campgrounds are, but are there health benefits to going out and enjoying nature and going camping?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot being written about that these days. Psychologically, there are a lot of benefits. There's something that the Japanese call Shinrin Yoku, which is forest bathing. And it was in the 1980s that Japan really started to focus on this as preventative health care. So, you know, I think we think of a walk in the woods as something that clears your mind and you know, mentally helps you out, but it has physical effects too. And they've done the science on this in Japan and South Korea, lowering your stress, obviously, your blood pressure, increases focus. There are studies that show that this even helps, like children with ADHD. Hmm. So, you know, while medicines will have their benefits, obviously, but, to be able to just take your kid out into the woods and let them wander around, actually is very helpful for their minds, as it is for our own. It improves your sleep, your energy. It's just... You can just, the clean air, fresh air energizes you as well.
We're going to talk lots of gear this hour, but let's start with the tent, because there are a whole lot of options out there. And what should we consider when we decide to pitch tent?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, whatever it says on the tent for how many people it takes is wrong.
In which direction?
You know, we always used to joke about that, being that, you know, it says a four-person tent, but it really only takes two, or, you know, four people who are very skinny and short, because it's laid out in a square often in those cases. But, yeah, so I think it is, you have to give some thought into what it is you're going to be laying down in, how you're going to be laid out in the can of sardines. But, Actually, I just have a Coleman, though, that I got at Shopko years ago. So nothing fancy, but needs to be waterproof for sure. And good ventilation is helpful, especially if you're camping this weekend. You probably realize that ventilation is key. It's been quite warm. Waterproof on the bottom, a good material that's not going to puncture easily as you use it over the years. But I also recommend putting a tarp down underneath your tent to keep the sharp rocks from damaging that. But other than that, it's as long as it's what you're comfortable with. Do you want to be able to stand up in it? I've seen people that have these very large, stand-up tents where you can move around and just, it's different. It's much bigger and heavier to carry. Yeah. But if you're car camping, who cares? So it depends on your needs there. If you're going backpacking on the Ice Age Trail and you want to, rustic camp along the trail as you go, you probably want something as light as possible. So,
what about ease in putting that tent up? Does that vary from brand to brand or tent to tent?
I don't. It does certainly. If there are different features involved here, but I going back to when I was a kid, the tents that we used to put up, we'd sit there and kind of stare at the posts and trying to figure out what do we do with all this
stuff.
I'm
having those flashbacks.
But now it almost sets itself up. Many of them are two poles that just cross in the center, and you just have to thread them through correctly. So the only thing you can screw up really is, I missed a loop. But they're all attached. Yeah, with the stretchy cord through the middle. I mean, it can be a 5-minute job depending on how many times you've done this before. You probably don't want to do it in the dark, but it is possible to do it in the dark. So,
talking with Kevin Revelinsky, he is a camping expert. It's his fourth edition of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin is out now, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What campgrounds do you like to frequent in Wisconsin, and what gear do you swear by when you go camping? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Deb on Facebook who writes, I love camping in my youth, but I love being out in Mother Nature, but I can't sleep on the ground anymore. Do you have any suggestions there?
You definitely need a sleeping pad. Going back to what we used to do when we were kids, I'm turning 50 next week, so I'm kind of into this whole back when I day. We slept on the ground. And up until not very long ago, I still slept on the ground, and that hurts.
not very good sleep.
Yeah. I don't know how we did it all those years, but these sleeping pads are great. Self-inflating often, and it changes everything. It keeps you warm if it's, if you're cold camping.
Are these pads able to really... are they compact?
Yeah.
So if you're going and you're basically going out hiking and you have them in a pack that you can
They squish down and you can fold them in half and roll them into a size that's not much bigger than a lunchbox, and they don't weigh much. So they are portable and they fit into your pack easily. I wouldn't do it without it anymore. And they have multiple sizes, too, depending on how tall you are or if you've got, you're a couple and you have a large sleeping bag. Something's available for everyone there.
So would that do it? Would that help Deb? Or is it really difficult as you age to actually sleep on the ground, regardless of whether you have a pad or not?
I don't know. I think
honestly,
I think the pad makes all the difference.
Okay.
But of course, you do have to choose your site as well. If some people can't sleep laying uphill or downhill, so you want something that's level. And as you lay out your tent, make sure there aren't any large tree roots there or rocks underneath. Stories of lightning strikes have made me paranoid about tree roots now. Doesn't matter that it hit the tree, it can travel. So that's something that's gotten in my head also to keep the roots from under my tent. But definitely just as long as you've got a flat surface and you get that tent pad out there, the sleeping pad should be fine.
All right, so you got your sleeping pad down, you've got your sleeping bag down. Now, sleeping bag can also give you a little bit of comfort
there.
Yeah.
And again, there's all a whole range of of sleeping bags that you can buy, the mummy bag that just really is as big as you are, and then the old style Kmart sort of hunting material, pictures of hunting scenes on the inner lining kind of bag.
I see it.
again, that's not something you'd want to be carrying if you're going backpacking. But if that's what you've got at home and you're going camping this weekend and you're going car camping, it's fine. It does tend to take in moisture a little more and harder to dry out, but they're still comfortable.
Talking with Kevin Revelinsky, his fourth edition of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin is out. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What campgrounds do you like to frequent here in Wisconsin? What gear do you take with you when you go camping? Do you set ground rules for camping? Rustic sites, electric hookups? Let's talk right after this news update on the Ideas Network.
The summer wind came blowing in.
The 2018 North American Camping Report tells us that in the U.S. there was an increase of 2.6 million new camping households last year. Millennials and Gen Xers are fond of getting out into the woods. 6 out of every 10 millennial households tried some type of camping or lodging last year. We're talking all things camping here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Camping guru Kevin Revelinsky stays with us. He's co-author of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin, now in its fourth edition. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite campgrounds here in Wisconsin? What are your favorite camping activities? Do you fish, swim, paddleboard perhaps when you camp? How about a campfire recipes, campfire songs? Call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. So, Kevin, let's talk about some sites around Wisconsin. And first of all, is there a general rule about how far in advance you have to book?
It would depend on how popular the park is, of course. The Reserve America system for the state campgrounds takes reservations 11 months in advance. That's a good idea if you've got a special particular weekend that you're having the family get together. Otherwise, most parks have a first come first served system as well. So they're never sold out, but they, someone might come a day before the weekend just to get that site on Thursday night, a strategy to try to get in there if it's a popular park. But during busy times, of course, that's going to be more of an issue, or busy parks like Devil's Lake, which gets 2.5 million people a year, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
That's a lot of traffic.
It is a lot of traffic. But then there's other parks you may not have heard of that, they don't get a lot of traffic. And even the state park system is now pricing those accordingly to try to encourage people, I think, to seek out the less popular parks. There's nothing wrong with them. People just haven't, Devil's Lake is kind of a rock star, isn't it? So... I can see why people want to go there, but we don't actually even include it in the tent camping book as one of the top 50 places for tent camping in specifically, because there's a lot of people there. It's a great park, but the campsites, I think there's others that can be more private and have a more personal experience.
Name drop some gems for tent camping.
Well, I'm a big fan of Rock Island State Park up off the tip of Door County, because it takes two ferries to get there, so that deters some. And you have to carry your gear to your campsite, which deters even more. I've gone there in the summer, but also in the fall, and right after school starts, there's just nobody there. One trip that I was the only person on the island. The park manager goes home at night. So I think there are docents in the lighthouse at the other end of the island, but it was just me in an empty campground. That was kind of awesome.
That is awesome.
But that also might be intimidating for some. Too many scary movies. I don't know.
So when you did that camping, what were you looking out at? Kind of give us the picturesque view.
Well, you're surrounded, by water. Obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's about a 10-mile hiking path that goes all the way around the island and the lighthouse at the northern end. And there's this beautiful, magnificent stone boathouse there that a famous inventor was trying to duplicate his home country. I think it was Iceland. Hmm. And so you can hear the water kind of lapping in underneath, and you can go in there at night. It's just this big, like, central room with a giant a fireplace with no fire, but, you know, just
to give you that ambiance.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can go out, lay out on the dock, and that was the first time I ever saw the space station do its flyby, which is also amazing. There's not a lot of ambient light, so it's, you know, it's a great place for stargazing, bird watching. It's quite an amazing place, I think. Mm. One of my personal favorites, but there are many, I would
say. How large of a campsite is that? Like, how many people, campers might they accommodate there?
Off the top of my head,
okay.
I think there are 26 sites there.
All right.
And each site is usually limited to about 6 people.
Okay.
And if they're spaced out nicely, that's, you know, not a big deal. There's some parks where there's just a little less in between you and the next camper. There's no trees blocking the view, and then it's a little less, it's more like Woodstock, maybe.
A little more intrusive.
it's more social.
Where are you taking us next?
Let's see. How about river camping? This is something I like to do often. We do like a 3-day trip, and last summer we went on the Namekagon River and St. Croix. They connect, and they have free camping along the way. So you pack up all your gear into a couple of canoes and paddle down river and figure out exactly about how far you're going to go each day, and there's campsites available. They're just sitting there waiting. Unless someone's taken it, in which case you're paddling a little further than you planned. That's part of the adventure. I do like doing that a lot, the combined paddling and camping thing. And there's a lot of places you can do that. The Upper Wisconsin River, the Lower Wisconsin is very popular for sandbar camping.
And so sandbar camping, that can get a little bit tricky because
also,
you go to bed at night and then you wake up and perhaps your sandbar has floated or
smaller.
Not. Or got a
that
little
happened
smaller.
Happened to us once many, many years ago. So it wasn't a frequent problem, but there was a really, really big rainstorm and we just laid there flat on our backs hoping that we wouldn't be taken by lightning. And actually the island was a bit smaller the next day. So, yeah, make sure you get something with trees on it, nothing super low to the water. But that's a quintessential Wisconsin experience for me. I mean, even growing up, we would come down to experience that river, on camping on sandbars.
So when you paddle and you've got your pack there in your canoe, you're doing by canoe, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got all your gear in your canoe. You tie up at some point along the way, and then you get off, and that's where you set up your campsite.
Yeah, you just pull out on a sandbar.
Okay.
And, make sure that your canoe is well pulled out of the water, so you have a way to get out the next morning. But there are outfitters that will provide those things and even, you know, guide you, set you up with your equipment for the night, and then pick you up at the other end so that you don't have to do all the shuttling yourself. So.
Would you recommend a guide if you're doing it for the first time or not?
I think that depends on comfort level. I mean, you do have to have some sense. You have to have your, you know, flotation devices and all that sort of thing, because there are safety issues, obviously. But I don't know. We all did it ourselves the first time. But definitely speak to somebody, an outfitter, to make sure that there isn't something you haven't considered.
Or exactly, even the turbulence of the water,
sure,
if you're
going to
hit
yeah.
any rapids or not.
Well, and just to, I don't want to share horror stories here, but the sandbars can be undercut by that current. So there are people who have been taken in by the river, just standing in sand in water, not, you know, past their ankles or something, but all that was just being carved away underneath and suddenly it lets go. So there are things to be wary of, obviously.
Sure.
And people do drown every year on that river. So
talking with Kevin Revelinsky, he's our guide as we pick his brain about camping. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite camping activities? Do you fish? Do you swim? Paddleboard? Maybe you combine it as we've been talking about some paddling and some sleeping out on sandbars, what is your most memorable camping trip you've ever gone on? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org, post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Aaron says, I love camping in Wisconsin. My favorite state park is Interstate State Park in St. Croix Falls. Great place for hiking, rock climbing, and kayaking.
Very beautiful, too. And it's right off the interstate, and it's facing the other interstate state park in Minnesota. And that's the St. Croix rushing through there, and they've got nice a waterfall in the middle of that. The Ice Age Trail starts from there, or the western terminus is there, I should say. Which I love. I love the Ice Age Trail. Yeah, it's a great park. And the paddling below the falls is, nice and easy. Not a big current, wider river, a bit like the Wisconsin. So,
do you have some other picks for the Ice Age Trail in particular for campsites?
Well, it depends on how. If you want to have a base camp or if you want to go through hiking.
Okay.
Because along the Ice Age Trail, you can carry your gear and there are designated spots where you can just rustic camp. Some of them are, well, here's the clearing.
You're on your own.
Others have like almost like a cabin in the middle of the woods. I know along Kettle Moraine area through the state forest there, they have the structures that gives you a little more shelter from the weather, I guess, or, if it's raining.
And those shelters, it's just like a cement floor and,
dirt floor, I think.
Oh, dirt floor. Okay.
Some more wood floor, depends on the structure. I've been to all of them.
All right.
But, it's along your path and you just hike from here to there. You could take the stretch throughout the entire Kettle Moraine down to Whitewater Lake State Park, where there's camping at the end there. So that would be, I think, the ultimate hiking adventure. It takes several days to hike. So you've got those options with the Ice Age Trail.
All right. Where are you taking us next?
We spoke earlier of campsites filling up and getting reservations. I've been able to find sites in the national forests. Even on 4th of July weekend, just drive up and there's nobody there. So if you go up to the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, there are all sorts of campgrounds up there. And some of them are not even clearly listed on the website. So when I had to update the book, there were a couple in there that I, Googled and to start looking up the information and make the phone call, and I couldn't find them. I thought, oh, no, budget cuts. Maybe they closed them. And you have to ask, well, what's the budget for six rustic sites with a picnic table, a fire ring, and a pit toilet? But there is. It does cost something to manage those things and mow the lawn. But there is one called Chipmunk Rapids, which is south of Highway 70, west of Florence, way, way up there. And that was a place that I just happened to need a place for the night. And we're doing some guidebook work up north. And
I love the name of it, Chipmunk Rapids.
It's
so
on the
adorable.
Pine River.
Okay.
And so there are rapids and you can hear them. Six sites in the woods with just the fire ring, the picnic table, and the water pump. And those places I don't want to say abundant, but they are out there if you look for them. So if you're willing to go a little bit deeper into the forest, you'll always have a campsite on the busy weekends. And it also depends, how far do you want to go? If you're in Milwaukee, I don't know. Do you want to go up there? If you've only got a 2-day weekend, do you want to go all the way north? There are parks everywhere. Harrington Beach is just maybe a half hour from Milwaukee. Whereas you could drive from Janesville to the Brule River, which empties into Lake Superior. That's going to take you, at least 6 hours, five and a half, depends on how you drive, I guess.
Right. You said half hour out of Milwaukee is it Harrington?
Harrington Beach State Park. That depends on where you are in Milwaukee, I suppose,
sure,
in traffic.
Sure.
But yeah, it's not very far.
What does that look like?
It's got a quarry lake in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. It's on Lake Michigan, so enough nice. Said.
Yeah.
Long stretch of beach. The campsites aren't bad. They're not quite as private as some of the other ones. But that changes over time as things grow in. But also, they have some of those, a lot of the state parks will have maybe half a dozen sites that are hike-in. Governor Dodge, which is another great place to camp, has a number of backpacker sites where you grab your gear, park your car, and start walking. Newport Beach up in Door County is another one where you might walk up to a mile to get your gear out there. And again, that's on Lake Michigan.
Don't forget something.
No, exactly.
So what do you love about Governor Dodge? Because that's in our neck of the woods here.
Lots of great hiking. They've got the two little lakes in there. And I think the hiking is what makes it a big hit for me.
Yeah, you really like to partner with hiking on your camping.
Yeah, I like to have other activities. It is enough if you're getting together with old friends just to build a fire and sit there and eat and have a couple beers.
Good conversation.
There's nothing wrong with that, and I do enjoy that, but a lot of the time it might just be me and my wife or maybe another couple of friends, and it's nice to have something else to do, other activities. So like at Wildcat Mountain State Park, it's right on the Kickapoo River, which is very popular for paddlers. And again, if you're not experienced, there's outfitters there that'll set you up for those things. And you can take out at the park. So it's...
What is your recommendation for insect repellent, bug repellent?
Well, long sleeves.
Okay.
Which isn't very comfortable this weekend. So that doesn't work all the time. So I do use DEET. Mm-hmm. It is, I think, the most effective. Others have had luck with citronella and other forms of repellent. But, whatever works, do it. Especially with tick season being on. That's kind of taken some of the fun out of, just going camping and not thinking about things. You do need to protect yourself. But
I really was chuckling at the point in your guidebook where just if you go to the bathroom more than once a night, you really think about that and have a plan. And I thought, how practical.
Well, yeah, and have a flashlight if you're at Chipmunk Rapids and you've got to find the porta potty in the middle of the night. That's no small thing. There's no lights.
So that's definitely you would recommend. Keep the flashlight next to you.
Yeah, keep your things handy, your car keys handy. Maybe your cell phone, but I think we talked about that prior to the show about unplugging, which is,
fully unplug?
I do when I'm camping, but I do have the phone in the car shut off, just in case. Why wouldn't you? Just, if there's an emergency. But you have to have that self-control to not dive back in there like, oh, I got to see what's going on Facebook. Come on.
Camping guru Kevin Revolinsky has crisscrossed Wisconsin inspecting 120 campgrounds and synthesizing all that in his latest edition of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin. We're getting tips on how to have a successful commune with Mother Nature here on the morning show. He is our guide, Kevin, and you can pick his brain 800-642-1234. What are your favorite camping activities? Where do you go? Do you fish? Do you swim? Perhaps you paddle? And what's the most memorable camping trip you've ever gone on? What about glamping, where amenities are a must? Call in 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Some great tips from the Best Tent Camping Wisconsin Guide. Here they come. Pitch your tent on a level surface. Take a sleeping pad with you. Plan tasty meals. And this one, if you're prone to using the bathroom multiple times a night, plan ahead. We are planning ahead for all things camping on this Memorial Day. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Camping expert Kevin Rebelinski stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you enjoy camping? Are you camping right now and listening to the Ideas Network? Tell us where you are. Share your favorite camping getaways and how you unplug. Call in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Steve joining us from Minocqua area. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know how much experience our guest has foraging, but I was curious about that. Like, I like to forage with camping, particularly mushrooms. And I know there's laws about plants, so I tend to stay away from those. But, you know, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Well, I don't know that there's a bad place to go foraging in this state. I've foraged in my backyard even, and mushrooms. I do a bit of that. I'm not an expert by any means. Like Sam Thayer, I think, is the rock star of foraging
yes.
in Wisconsin. He's the person to consult on that in his books. But chicken of the woods mushrooms, I seem to find those every summer, and they're easy to identify. You stir fry them in a pan, and it tastes and looks it just like chicken. It's amazing. So, yeah, foraging is there's just a whole world of things you can eat out there that you don't even think about, like lotus plant or the cattail, the inside of a, the stem of a cattail apparently is also edible.
So you can even go out and hike, forage a little
Absolutely.
Bit, bring it back to the campsite. So what are some things that we can cook up around the campfire? What are some of your favorite things?
Well, you know, I do tend to bring a lot of hot dogs type things. This is like a guilty pleasure on camping.
But they taste so much better.
They do when they're
out in the campsite.
Exactly, when you roast them in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to bring meals that are wrapped up in aluminum foil, so you can prepare everything, and then wrap it up, and then just put it in the fire or in the coals or over the grill, depending on how you know what it is you're cooking. But that's an easy way to avoid having to do those things on a picnic table in the state park. So, so having the prepared meals is great, but I'm a junk food eater. The camping, this is my vacation from. Yeah. So, you can get the camping equipment to fry eggs, or if you really want to, you know, go out and have frying pans and such. But coffee is important.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
So, how are you making your coffee out in a campsite?
I've got one of those kind of thermos French press kind of things. So I bring along the pre-ground coffee, and then we just have to get the water hot over the fire. So.
That works. All right. Well, let's go to Peggy joining us in Madison. Hi, Peggy.
Good morning. I tapped in just as you were talking about coffee, and I'm drinking coffee and air conditioning, so I'm not very camp-worthy this morning at this moment. I have a question about Nelson Dewey. I will be camping there this summer for the first time. I've camped quite a bit in my life, but I'm trying to make the rounds of all the Wisconsin parks. What can you tell me about Nelson Dewey, and what should I be sure and do in that area?
Well, because you're close to water there, be prepared for the mosquitoes, of course. But that whole Mississippi River area is fantastic. But it's just a nice park. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Nice park. And Peggy, where are some of your favorite parks? Or is this your first time to Nelson Dewey?
It's my first time to Nelson Dewey, but last summer I was over at Wyalusing, which is what encouraged me to do Nelson Dewey. I was so impressed. I don't know that I've been to a Wisconsin park that I don't like, to be honest. I try and avoid the busy ones, the crowded ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wyalusing is also great. You get that view of the Wisconsin coming into the Mississippi, which is nice.
And Peggy, are you tent camping, RV? How do you go?
I am a person who is probably too old to tent camp and still do it and love it. And for the first time in my life, I'm bringing a kayak with me.
Oh, right on.
Wow.
There's a, what is it called? The Stone, gosh darn it, Stonefield Historic Site is near there, too.
Oh, I have not heard of that.
Yeah, it's one of those live museum kind of places of a pioneer settlement kind of thing. So, an alternative, that's not, hiking, obviously, but, I mean, you get to learn a little bit there about the history of the settlers in the area. So, but kayaking, that's great. Are you going to kayak on the big river?
Well, we'll see. This is my first time. I have to see, actually, I shouldn't say that. I did go on the big river last summer when I was at Wyalusing. Unexpectedly, I didn't have a kayak with me, and a kind park person that was there offered a kayak, and we went out for a paddle. So, yeah, maybe I will. I guess I can do it.
Yeah, there are good opportunities. I'm not familiar with the paddling there in Nelson Dewey, but I know further up there are places where you can actually get on the edge of the river there. It is intimidating. It's a big river, right? And then paddle back through a lake. So actually there are like loop paddles, so you're not putting in and then taking out downriver. You actually come through a backwater in a circle.
Kind of like a hiking trail.
Yeah, like a hiking trail. So, yeah.
Well, Peggy, best of luck on that expedition. It sounds like something to really look forward to this summer. Thanks so much for calling. We have Eve from McHenry, Illinois, who emailed, and she writes, "My husband and I paddled from Spring Green to Dubuque. The only scary part was that a barge went past, and we had to get to an island on the other side of the river. It was a great time." So Spring Green to Dubuque.
That's a nice paddle there. That's a big one.
That's a hefty, yeah. So that sounds good as well. Sherry posted that she went camping twice, loved it, but her husband determined his idea of camping was in the Holiday Inn. So what happens when your significant other has different expectations about camping? How do you find that common ground?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think maybe on the camping side of things, you try to bring up the comfort levels. Otherwise, you're going to have to find the Holiday Inn that's closest to a really nice park. So at least during the day, you can go out hiking. But I have a friend who absolutely refuses to go camping, so that is difficult.
yeah. And it's not...
There are cabins. I'm not familiar with going this route too much, but there are some state parks or even beyond Wisconsin, up if you go up to like Porcupines in the UP, they have cabins that you can rent. So that might be a really
cabins
good...
are a happy medium.
Yes, I would think so. Yeah.
Well, Nick on Facebook wants to know your thoughts on hammock camping.
I've never hammock camped.
Is that like tying your hammock between two trees?
Yeah,
and there you
and
go?
You sleep suspended.
Uh-huh.
Might not be my thing, but they have hammocks made for this sort of thing, so you're not going to be bitten by mosquitoes all night through the fabric or something like that. People seem to like it. That's as much as I can say, but for me, I'm not comfortable wrapped up like that. But it's definitely an option.
Well, so far I know we've talked about unplugging and trying to leave our cell phones behind, but are there any apps or anything that our phones could be helpful for as we do our camping?
Weather alerts. I mean, that, for me, that's the one thing that that I do think about in terms of not being connected. You want to have a radio along if you don't have your cell phone. You do need to keep... be aware of those things, and at state parks where the shelters are and such. Other than that, there's nothing the phone's going to do for me that I can't do on my own or with a guidebook or with the park map.
The park map that's posted there, you take a look at it, you kind of get your bearings, and that's...
Yeah, well, I was once on
a... You're so low-tech.
I can be. I mean, I stay with it. I still have my phone. I'm on the internet. I do most of my work on the internet.
That's all right. That's all right.
But I was once with a guy who was guiding our group, and I was just along for the ride, so to speak, or along for the hike, and he took us the wrong direction. He was bent over a GPS device. And I thought, are you kidding me? I'm just looking at signposts along the way. It's really all you need. And being able to know which direction you're going, I guess.
Well, good compass.
Apparently.
Yeah, a compass might help.
Yeah, compass is not a bad thing. And they have those on phones, So there you go.
How have you seen camping and camping culture change over the decades?
I think it's become easier. There are more campgrounds, hot showers. We didn't, back in my day, we didn't used to have those things. And that is nice. You know, on a, you're away for a three-day weekend and it's hot and sweaty and you've got bug spray all over you. It's nice to have a good shower and for it not to be ice cold. So, and I'd say, you know, I'd have to double check that, but I think every state park campground has one of those now, or just about, even some of the state forests. So that's nice. That's more convenient. I think just the general upkeep of the parks is a little better, maybe. Mm. But also there's more traffic, so there's a lot more people than there used to be. The survey that we just got from KOA, 77 million camping households in the United States, up 6 million from just 4 years ago.
And the younger generation really getting into it.
Yeah, they had a survey that 81% think of the Generation Z, which is born in the mid-90s to the early 2000s, believe 81% believe that camping is very important, being out in the outdoors. And if that's the generation that's most attached to their devices, they say 40% are addicted to their devices. So they're becoming quickly conscious of how important it is to get out there and experience nature. So I think that's great.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
Kevin Revolinsky is a travel expert. He's the author of 16 books, and he co-authored the fourth edition of Best Tent Camping Wisconsin that is out now, and his website is themadtraveler.com. This hour of the morning show was produced by Sarah Hopeful, Colleen Leahy, and Keely Baltina. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and Pitch a Tent, you're with us here on the Ideas Network.